You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Dolphins in Depth podcast. I'm Daniel Yafusi. That is David Neal. Thanks so much for tuning in. Quick reminder before we start, make sure to subscribe to the Miami Herald YouTube page. Like, share, comment, all that good stuff, as well as subscribe to the Miami Herald so you can stay updated on the latest news in South Florida. So the Miami Dolphins improved to 8-3 last Sunday with a 30-15 win over the Houston Texans. Came back from the bye. Yep, smacked them around. At least for the first half, they were up 30-0 at halftime. Kind of let their foot up off the gas a little bit. Tua was taking out the game after two drives in the second half. But they ultimately come away with the win in a game that they were expected to win. It took care of business after the bye. And now they moved on, and now they're moving on to the part of the schedule that we've all been looking forward to. I mean, months and months ago when the schedule first came out, we were looking at this schedule, this part of the schedule, and we said this is one that will, this is a stretch that will decide the Dolphins' season. I mean, they're already in really good position to make the playoffs for the first time since 2016. But if they can get through this December stretch with maybe a winning record, 500, take care of business on this road stretch, they can really cement their status as contenders and as a playoff team this season. And it begins this upcoming Sunday in San Francisco. Mike McDaniel makes his big return to face Kyle Shanahan, Jimmy Garoppolo, and the 49ers. There's already been some, you know, some back and forth on social media with Raheem Mostert, Debo Samuel. Raheem Mostert clearing up some comments he made to a reporter about the two offenses and, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo and whatnot. So, I mean, hey, Mike McDaniel said he didn't want this game to be about him. He said, you know, we're just trying to face a good team. But there's a lot of storylines and narratives, you know, at play for this reunion of sorts. But we're going to start with last Sunday's game. As I said, the Dolphins beating the Texans 30-15. I mean, at halftime, I mean, I'm not going to lie, two plays in, the Texans ran two runs up the middle. They went nowhere. That they kind of waved the white flag, if you're asking me. The Dolphins were up 30-0 at halftime, their biggest halftime advantage since 2015. I believe they were up 41-0 or something like that. But I mean, it wasn't a game that they left unscathed. However, you know, toward the end of the first half, left tackle Teron Armstead left with a pectoral injury that was later reported by NFL Network to be a grade 2 strain, which is a partial tear. His availability for Sunday's game is honestly in doubt, not even just in question, but in doubt. The report said that he was expected to miss some time. Mike McDaniel didn't give a timetable, but said, you know, they're working on treatment options. But not only did Teron Armstead lead the game, right tackle Austin Jackson, playing for the first time since week one, he sustained an ankle injury, the same exact ankle that kept him out for several weeks on IR. It looks like his availability is in question. So you enter a pivotal game against the 49ers with, you know, the status of your two offensive tackles in doubt. I mean, that's not a recipe for success. But again, we're going to start with that Texans game. Did you leave yourself more impressed with the way they came out in the first half, or kind of scratching your head and a little bit concerned about the second half?
It was about the first half. I mean,
It was what you, the Dolphins came out and did what you, you know, did what they were supposed to do. They got jumped on the Texans, gotten down early, pounded them, you know, got up, you know, going to halftime of 30 to nothing. Do you honestly think in the second half that either team came out with the intent that came out with the intensity they did in the first half? No.
I think the Texans did. I mean, the Texans put together some scoring drives.
The Texans suck. So
they had three scoring drives. They made it 30 to 15 with about 9 minutes left, and they were punting back. I mean, hey, Dolphins defense had to make some plays to effectively seal that game because, you know, they had to make some plays.
We got to that stage of an NFL game, an NFL route. And this happens during NFL routes. I'm sure you've covered them. I know I covered them where, like, both teams kind of know what the deal is. And there's just a drop of intensity. And I think the Dolphins experienced it and just never kind of got back to it. Until they were like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, what? It's 30 to 15. Oh, we got to do something about this. All right. Let's, you know. And then, you know, they, again, did what they needed to do to get to walk out of there with the win. But I, theoretically, the game was in doubt. I mean, you know, two-score game, you know, 9 minutes left. In reality, that game was not in doubt. That game wasn't in doubt. And, you know, credit to the Dolphins for doing what they needed to do. And now, the good part, it's supposed to be the good part about, you know, going up 30 at halftime is usually you can pull your starters and everybody goes, you know, everybody's sitting on the sidelines talking about post-game plans and everybody's healthy, you know, going in to face, you know, Jimmy G, Debo, you know, whichever Bosa's out there. And you get one Bosa 1 week, one Bosa the next week. And, you know, that's supposed to be the upside. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. You know, they suffered a couple of injuries that might be problematic, very problematic, coming into this week, especially. So, after 30-0, that's not a film I'm putting. That's not something I'm really basing a lot of extended analysis on. The game was in the first half, and that was how different these teams are. The Texans are not 15 points worse than the Dolphins. They are 30 points worse than the Dolphins. And they are 15 points worse than, like, a middle pack team in the NFL. You know, so, yeah. You know, the most disheartening thing are the injuries. Because you want to get out of a game like that just healthy.
Yeah. I'm going to have to disagree with you. And I wrote about it in my Dolphins film study that went up on Tuesday, so check that out if you haven't. I was impressed that the Dolphins quickly jumped out against an inferior team, and we saw that even if they were a little bit rusty, like they punted for the first time in 3 weeks. You know, they the timing of the passing offense just was a little offbeat. You know, they were still able to move the ball and take care of business. But I got to say, when Teron Armstead left that game, a lot changed. I mean, we talked a lot. We remember when he's been battling the toe injury all season. And this was the first time, I believe, all season that he didn't enter the game. He didn't go into Sunday with the game status. I mean, he was one of the guys that, he didn't have a game status. Like, there was no question whether he was going to play. So for him to have that pec injury, I mean, that's just very unfortunate, but it goes back to, you know, what this offensive line and kind of what this offense looked like when he wasn't in the lineup week 5 or week 6. Obviously Tua wasn't in the game as well, because he was sidelined by his concussion. But it's crazy, like, when Teron Armstead is not playing on that offensive line, it's like a domino effect. Like I don't know what it is, but it's like the guy next to him struggles. The guy's two slots down from him, they start to struggle. It's like there's something that he does. I mean, players have spoken about it, like just like the mental aspect, not only the physical aspect of the game, but the mental aspect of the game, like just knowing where to go, helping guys that he's next to and whatnot. I mean, Tua was sacked. I mean, he's barely been sacked since that return from the concussion. He was sacked four times in three drives. I mean, like, I mean, I'm sure you saw it. I mean, there were everybody in the press box when he was taking some of those hits at being in the third quarter. We're like, why is he even in this game? I mean, it was like Ole, like they just like it was just no protection for him at all. I mean, he had no time in the pocket. And the Texans saw that. I mean, the Texans noticed that the Dolphins starting left tackle was out. And that, you know, Brandon Shaw, who has played really well at right tackle, he's not, you know, as good on the left side. They took advantage of that. You know, as much as important as, you know, Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle, you know, two of the play calling of Mike McDaniel is, I mean that stretch, those couple of drives and really the entirety of the second half, like, reminded you how important the left tackle is. And obviously Tua is right-handed, so we say the right tackle is more, I mean, sorry, he's left-handed, so we say the right tackle is more important. But I mean, having a nice stalwart left tackle is so vital in the league. And the drop-off from, you know, that all-pro, Pro Bowl caliber level is it's a big drop-off. So again, I mean, I think that if, you know, if they were to play that entire game without, you know, if they needed two out there the entirety of the game against the Texans, like, they would have been able to make it work, just because, like you said, like, the talent disparity was just so much in that game. But I mean, in a game against the 49ers, where, you know, they have arguably the best defense in the NFL, arguably the best pass rusher in the NFL, you know, a scheme that, you know, obviously the opposing team knows very, very well. I mean, it could be very like disastrous. I mean, there's very few. I mean, there's a short list of players I wrote that, like, the offense just can't afford, like they just can't afford to lose. Tyreek Hill is up there, but even if, I mean, in my opinion, even if you move Tyreek Hill off this offense right now, they're still gonna be able to move the ball. Tua, we've seen some of the struggles that the offense have had when he's not in there. Teron Armstead is up there. I mean, he really, like, keeps this offensive line, you know, together. And I don't know how one player's absence can have such a big of an impact on the offense, but he does. Now, the Dolphins are going to have a week to make adjustments. Mike McDaniel more or less said, we can't call the same game. We can't call some plays when Teron Armstead and then also Austin Jackson isn't in there. So they'll adjust. But, I mean, hey, 49ers have a week to adjust as well. And, you know, I think that, I mean, if he's out for, I don't know, I mean, they say a partial tear of the pec, you can be out for, you know, a couple of weeks. I mean, I think TJ Watt had that, and, you know, he was sidelined for about 2 months. I don't think it's that bad. I think it's a partial tear. So he might be out a couple of weeks before he can, like, really start to kind of play through that. But when you're facing a stretch of, you know, Nick Bosa, Khalil Mack, we don't know if Joey Bosa with the Chargers is going to be able to play. But if he does, I mean, that's another guy you have to account for. And then the Buffalo Bills, I don't know if Von Miller is going to play, but they've got some pass rushers over there. Not having a left tackle for three games, I mean, that can wreck your game plan. And I mean, to kind of finish my thoughts on that, I mean, I was going through different analytics sites and different, you know, stat keeping sites, and on True Media, like, they have the pressure rates for each game, and I kind of filtered it for when Tua's in the game. So against the Texans, Tua was pressured 33% of his drop back. So every three times he dropped back, he was pressured. That was just like over the entirety of the game. I mean, I'm sure if you filtered it for when Teron Armstead was out, I'm sure that number skyrockets. So again, they'll have a week to make the adjustments. But we've seen what this offensive line is like when Teron Armstead is not in there. And when you also compound Austin Jackson not being in there, obviously he's not Teron Armstead. But I mean, if you're counting on two offensive tackles to get the job done and, you know, to try to have your offense register smoothly, I mean, whatever you want to say, I mean, it's just not going to happen. I mean, you're just not going to be able to run the offense with the efficiency, with the potency, with the dynamic ability that we've seen.
But if there's a difference, however, between there's a difference, however, how you put how an injury affects you when it happens during the game versus, okay, we know on Monday we're not going to have this guy on Sunday. And, I think between, like I said, I think there was a predictable, Dolphins knew they had that game won. Houston just doesn't have the ability to come back 30-0. And then once you lose people, you combine those two things, and yeah, you're not you lose people in game. Yeah, there's going to be more. There's problems, and there's more problems if you lose them in game. As opposed to, okay, they've got, yeah, San Francisco got a whole week to figure out how to bedevil the Dolphins off that side. The Dolphins also have a week to say, okay, this is how we're going to deal with this, and you're not doing it on the fly. And you have game film saying, okay, this is what we didn't do well, in the last few games, and doing it Sunday and when Toronto was out earlier this season. So, that's why the second half, just that second half doesn't concern me. The fact that they're going to be down guys going against a really, really good defense. Yeah, well, that's concerning, obviously. I think we're going to talk about that game pretty after our break. But yeah, it's the two things to me are independent of each other, and sort of independent of each other. So it's going to be a problem, but the Dolphins do also have a week to kind of deal with this or prepare to deal with it. And I guess especially in game things when you have to make a switch in game, suddenly, there's the work chemistry between the left tackle and left guard is off. Who's taking what, who's making what on the fly and during a play, and then the guard in the center, it's off. It is a domino effect where sometimes wrong decision over here, or different decision over here. Now there's a different decision over here, or a wrong decision over here, and somebody comes, winds up, bopping your quarterback. So yeah, it can happen with, obviously any play. It can happen with any player on the line, but obviously it's worse if you're talking left tackle or center. The guy who makes a lot of line calls, and the left tackle who's usually facing the other team's best pass rusher, which is the right defensive end usually.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, they will have a week to make those adjustments. I mean, I floated some stuff on Twitter, like, definitely try to maybe they should do less empty sets. Maybe have some more, six, keep running back, keep actually tight end in there. Definitely gonna have to chip Nick Bosa. It's definitely gonna be one of the bigger tests for the Dolphins, as we said, in this really the defining part of their schedule. I mean, not only do they have, a road game against the San Francisco 49ers, with the Chargers the following week, the Bills after that, and then they can finally get back home to face the Packers. But really, that three game, though, those three consecutive road games, I mean, those are probably gonna that's probably the toughest stretch of the season by far. So we'll see how they adjust to the potential absence of Teron Armstead. Obviously, hasn't been officially ruled out, but it does look like he's gonna miss some time. All right, we're gonna take a short break, but when we come back on the other side of things, we're gonna finally preview the highly anticipated matchup. Like McDaniel back in his old stomping grounds. I mean, is he gonna get one up on his old mentor Kyle Shanahan? We're gonna talk about that and more, so stay locked with us.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
What's going on, everybody? Still here on the Dolphins in Depth podcast, talking all things Dolphins with David Neal. And as we previewed before the break, this is one of the biggest games, really most anticipated games on the Dolphins schedule when the schedule first came out way back in spring. The Dolphins obviously hired Mike McDaniel back in February from the San Francisco 49ers. So when the schedule came out, that's one of the first things we were looking at. When does Mike McDaniel make his return to San Francisco? That time has finally arrived. He's set to meet back up with Kyle Shanahan, an old mentor, an old friend of his, who really, I mean, if you trace back Mike McDaniel's entire coaching history, you won't find, I mean, you'll find Kyle Shanahan, right next to him. I mean, dating back to the times when they were, with Washington, with Cleveland, Atlanta, and then obviously with the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, they've been linked together for, really like a decade plus in various different roles. You know, Mike McDaniel served as an offensive assistant in Washington, wide receivers coach. And then, he held various roles, as Kyle Shanahan, rose up the ranks. I mean, Mike McDaniel did too. He was not very far behind him. Obviously, Mike McDaniel was the run game coordinator, kind of the mastermind behind the run game with the 49ers. He got the opportunity last season to be elevated to offensive coordinator, where he had a role in, a lot of the game planning and some of the play calling duties. And now he's in Miami, where he's really brought that Shanahan style offense, the wide zone scheme, the zone running scheme, a lot of the West Coast, concepts. He's brought that to Miami. He's really put his own spin on it with, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and Tua. But, as they go head to head for the first time as head coaches, I mean, I'm wondering, who really has the advantage? Is it the mentor? Is it the mentee? Obviously, Mike McDaniel, while he said, "I don't want this game to be about me and Kyle," I mean, he's really credited, Kyle Shanahan, really, the Shanahan family, for, his football background, his football roots. And again, obviously he's brought that offense there. I mean, he said that he's essentially, had run a version of that offense since 2006. So, I mean, what do you think, David? I mean, who has the edge? Because to me, I feel like McDaniel has the slight advantage in terms of, schematics, because obviously the offensive schemes are more or less the same. But, I mean, he's less than a year removed from being in San Francisco, so he still knows a lot of those guys. He knows Debo. He knows Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, he worked very closely with Jimmy Garoppolo. He knows the defense because he's been going against – he was going against them for several years. It's not exactly the same with, Kyle Shanahan. While he might know the offensive scheme, I mean, he hasn't seen those players up close. He hasn't seen the Dolphins defense for several years. I think Mike McDaniel actually might have the head-to-head advantage in terms of this individual matchup, even though he's the less experienced head coach. What do you think?
I think the guy with the advantage in the coaching matchup is the guy with the better players.
And who is that? Who is that?
As we were discussing along the line, it might be the son of Shanahan. And, at the skill positions, you'd probably give the edge to the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Sure. So, there you go. I don't think this is a game that scheme will decide. I don't, and you know, could it come down to late in the game? Could it come down to, you know, clock management, whether or not you go for a field goal, or go for it on fourth down. That those are the kind of decisions that might affect the game more. I think because the teams run similar schemes, I think that it kind of comes down to which players perform better on that given day. And I don't think either coach has a real advantage here. I don't think this is a. I don't know that the one's going to outsmart the other. I think
you never know. I
think one might make. I think one might make some better decisions than the other one does. But those are decisions that he'll make, independent of, who's on the other sideline, because he'll make it based on how the game has been played and how the game is going. So I don't see a tremendous advantage for either one. This is not a game that, where I'd say, they'll never figure out, they'll never figure out how to deal with X or Y. I think in the expression of the scheme, obviously the Dolphins with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, even Gesicki and some of the other receivers, express the scheme in a way that the 49ers are not used to seeing it.
Yeah.
And that's going to, I think that early on will catch them off guard, because when someone is unusually talented and you're facing them early on, that's usually what happens. By the same token, like we talked about in the last segment, in the first segment, the Dolphins are going to have to figure out a way to deal with the 49ers front four, and particularly Bosa. And, I always like the idea of you facing a guy like that in the first 3-4 plays, throw either a trap or a screen his way. Even if it gets eaten up, do something that makes that guy think for a half second before he comes after you. And even if you do have to do it on third and long and say, screw it, or second and long, do it. But So I like I said, I don't think there's a great coaching advantage either way. And maybe it'll play out that one outsmarts the other at some point, but I don't.
It's going to be a lot of body blows back and forth, is what you're saying.
I think it's going to be. They're just going to. The game's just going to play out the way it's going to play out. And as far as the play, it's going to be decided much more so by the guys on the field. And, they'll make decisions based, they'll make strategic decisions based on those things. And, some of those strategic decisions might be brilliant and some of them might be boneheaded. So,
That's fair. I mean, this is such an intriguing matchup to me because, this is by far – and I said it earlier, this is by far the best team the Dolphins have faced since Tua's returning week 7. I mean, you can make the argument that in this moment in time, they're the best team the Dolphins have faced all season. I mean, week 2, the Ravens were, they had some injuries on defense. Week 3, the Bills had some injuries on defense. Obviously, they faced the Bengals in week 4, but I don't think the current Bengals, the way the Bengals are playing right now, kind of matches up with, the early season Bengals. I think the Bengals are a much better team right now than they were when the Dolphins faced them in the first month of the season. This is, arguably the best defense in the NFL. They allow the fewest yards, fewest rushing yards. per game. You know, obviously we know about the offense and the different guys that they have, and it's like the cross unit matchups are just like fascinating. Like, as much as Teron Armstead is going to be missed if he's not able to play through that pec injury, you still have to guard Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. And frankly, I don't know if there's any cornerback tandem that can really match up with those guys when they're at their best. You know, on the other hand, you got Deebo Samuel, you got Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk is a guy. George Kittle, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know who is the George Kittle stopper, who lines up and tries to guard George Kittle. I mean, not only in the passing game, but I mean, we've talked so much about how the Dolphins, they need a George Kittle like tight end in their offense because he's such an impact blocker in the run game. I mean, it's like I was kind of wrestling, like, is this going to be a low scoring game because both coaches know the offenses so well? Is this going to be like a high scoring game because the defenses aren't able to match up? Like, I don't know. I mean, ultimately, I think that obviously you're going to get something in the middle. I think that we're going to see some really good defensive play on both sides, because I think that, again, this is the best defense that the Dolphins will have played, you know, in months or in weeks, arguably all season. And I think that they'll make some stops. I mean, the Dolphins, I mean, I was kind of surprised. It's like, damn, I forgot where Thomas Morstead was. And he had to punt a few times, but I mean, I think that they will have to punt a few times. I don't think that they're going to go five or six drives, you know, scoring up and down the field. But on the other side, I mean, I think that this is a defense that is, you know, starting to put things together. They've played some bad offenses and they've taken advantage of some favorable matchups. For them to get a couple turnovers, a couple sacks, you know, hit the quarterback, I mean, at least their confidence is rising a bit, and they're starting to think like, hey, like we're starting to kind of get things clicking on defense. I think against Jimmy Garoppolo, who, you know, is prone to make some mistakes. I mean, he's not always the most accurate. You know, he is a guy that you can kind of fluster and get you to throw up some passes. I mean, I think that there's going to be some opportunities there. But truthfully, honestly, I just think that the loss of Armstead compounded with Austin Jackson. I mean, if you're looking at a situation where you have I'm assuming if Austin Jackson and Teron Armstead can't play, you're going to have Brandon Schell at right tackle and Greg Little at left tackle. Because that's what the Dolphins did late in that game when Jackson left in the fourth quarter. Brandon Schell is serviceable as right tackle. I mean, he's been played that position most of his career. But Greg Little, I mean, we saw him struggle on the right side. He's a little better on the left side, but he's a backup tackle. I mean, there's no other way to put it. And just that matchup, I mean, I think that the timing of the offense will be a little bit better. But this is a game where I think you're going to need to run the ball a lot better than you did against the Texans. I'm not sure if they're going to be able to do it without, you know, with two backup offensive tackles. And if they can't run the ball and then they're in these obvious passing situations, Tua's been great on third down. I mean, third and long, third and short. I mean, he's great on third down. But when you play a pass rush and a defense front that can get at the quarterback like they can, like the 49ers can, against your backup tackles, I mean, that can ruin a lot. Like I said, that can wreck your game plan a lot. Mm-hmm. So I think that on offense, they're going to be able to move the ball. The Dolphins are going to be able to move the ball. But those offensive line issues are going to just be just a little too much to overcome. And on the other side of the ball, I think that, you know, this defense has made strides, whether they're kind of like an average level offense. But I do think that, you know, playing, you know, a competent offense, an offense that has legitimate playmakers and like matchup problems, the ones that the San Francisco 49ers possess, I do think that they are going to be able to make some plays. And ultimately, I just think that, you know, it's going to be a high emotion game. You know, Mike McDaniel was already downplaying it, but there's no doubt that this means a lot. You know, Mike McDaniel is as humble and gracious as he is. I mean, I'm sure he'd love to beat the 49ers, beat Kyle Shanahan. I'm sure Kyle Shanahan and some of those guys on the other side that were with Mike McDaniel, they'd love to beat him and say, hey, like, we loved you when you were here, but we're still good over here. Mm-hmm. But I think ultimately the home team, the 49ers, get the win. I'm going to say 21-17 in a close, hard-fought battle.
21-17. That's a good mid-range score. Actually, low for modern for an NFL game in 2022.
I mean, I think these defenses are going to make. I think these defenses are going to come to play for the most part. I mean, I really do.
But that also means I think there can be. I think there's going to be some turnovers and some short fields. So I'm going to go a little up. Go get a little higher on that. I'm going to go 31-27. I'm going to go with the 49ers. It's a close game, and so you take the home team in that one. I think right now they're the best team in the NFC.
Better than the Eagles.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They're better than the Eagles. So they're. Right now, I think they're better than the Eagles. Obviously they had their troubles earlier this season, and you know that's why the Eagles have a better record. But and you can't play the Eagles cheap. But they're still.
They showed a little vulnerability in the past couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it and you go, okay, I get it, and you're winning, and you're beating whoever shows up. But boy, I don't know. They don't inspire as much confidence in themselves as confidence in their opponent, or that an opponent will someday, you know, knock them off and bring them back to earth. Whereas I look at San Francisco and think, that's a team that's improved, that's been slowly getting better. So, yeah, I think I agree with you that this looks like a 49ers game, but it is not a game for the gambling types. And, I do love me a point spread and, you know, putting some money down on things. No,
I'd stay away plus four last time I checked.
I would stay away from this game. I would completely stay away from this game. And I could see this going a lot of different ways.
Yeah. It would not surprise me if the Dolphins win this game, just because I think that they're going to be up for it. Again, offensive line issues are concerning, but you still got to guard 17 and 10.
Right. You just don't have to guard them for as long.
Yeah.
I can see, you know, the Dolphins have that explosiveness and theoretically they built it to put up a lot of points. But I also think the 49ers, you know, they can put up points too. I think both sides have shown defensively that they can create points, score them, short fields. So, you know, that snowball can get rolling for either side also. So that's why I would stay away from this game. Because, you know, if I woke up Sunday afternoon at some point and then, you know, it's like, you know, late in the second quarter and somebody said, oh, it's 24-0. I'd be like, okay, yeah.
Well, I would be a little surprised at that.
I would be surprised. It wouldn't be like, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? No, I think
I think these are two very well coached teams, two teams that are going to be ready for this game.
But I think that once that gets going for either team in that direction,
they can start the snowball
and then suddenly you look up and it's 24-0.
Yeah,
I think that can happen either way, and I could, but I. You know, that's why I said this is not a game I would lay any money on. I would just sit back and enjoy this game for what it is. You have what I feel is the best team in the NFC right now, and you have another team that might be playing the best in the AFC, might be the best AFC's most complete team right now. And that's interesting enough for me. But I'll take the 49ers if you put my head on the chopping block and made me make a choice. I'll take the 49ers.
That's what we do. Take integrity. Got to put it on wax. Yeah. Okay, so we're picking the 49ers to win a close game. I think we both think it's going to be a really good game. Last time the Dolphins did face the 49ers was back in the 2020 season, which was Tua's rookie season, I believe. The Dolphins smacked the 49ers 43-17. I remember Mike McDaniel pointing out that game as, you know, one of the games that's vivid in his mind in recent Dolphins memory. You know, he's talking about the way the defense performed and just how ferocious they were. So, you know, maybe they can replicate that type of performance again against his old team. We'll see how that all shakes out. But regardless, it's going to be a great game, and I'm really excited for that. Well, that brings us to the end of another edition of the Dolphins in Depth podcast. I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. As always, reminder to subscribe to the Miami Herald YouTube page, like, share, comment, subscribe to the Miami Herald. We're going to have a ton of content this week, you know, previewing the game, the Mike McDaniel, Kyle Shanahan relationship. I mean, there's so many former 49ers on this Dolphins team, whether that's Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, Trent Sherfield, River Craycraft. I mean, there's a lot of guys who are also going to be making their return to San Francisco. So it should be really, really fun. We're going to be back next week to recap another week of Dolphins football. But until then, you guys take care. See ya.